Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday night. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. And always, it's a privilege and an honor to come before the people of God to share the word of God one with another. I hope that everyone had a wonderful week and everything is going as expected. But no matter what is happening in your life right now, you need to know that God is in control and he's working all things out for your good. God said, what more would I do for you than what your earthly father can do? God say he who has all power can do more. And there's no love for you than the love that God had for you. Because while we were yet in our sin, God sent his son, his only begotten son, to give everyone a chance to the tree of life. And that's a mighty good God. That's a faithful God. God is in the scenes and nothing happened can take God by surprise. God knows everything that's going on in your life. You cannot see the end. You could only see what's in front of you. But God knew from the beginning. He knows right now and he knows the end. So just hold on to God's unchanging hand. Stay firm to the confession of your faith and watch God work it out for you. Well, our lesson title tonight is Don't Let the Green Grass Fool You. We're coming from Luke, the 15th chapter, the 11th through the 20th verse. And this is a parable that many of you may be familiar with, the parable of the prodigal son. But what we're going to do is I'm going to play a song that I think is appropriate for tonight. And in this song, the songwriter is talking about how he tried all kind of different things in life. And he realized that the only true thing is God. So I'm going to go ahead and put the song on. We're going to come back, go to the throne of grace. And after that, we're going to explore the word of God together. Listen, be prayerful, and listen to the words in the song.
Dream of the big stage, couldn't wait to see my name in lights. I had a dream so big, made a mountain look small, couldn't wait till I had it all. The closer I get, the more distant I feel, the more I thought I had, the less it all seemed real. Suddenly I found the only thing for me that counts, and I can't imagine my life without you. Once in a lifetime, find a love you know is real. Once in a lifetime, you find something that makes your songs live. Once in a lifetime, find a friendship that's worth the wait. And once in a lifetime, you find joy you can't replace. I used to think that it was the trophies on my wall. Thought if I'd won, then I'd have it all. And I couldn't wait till everybody knew my name. I had
Spirit of expectancy, that you would illuminate and then give revelation of the word that went forth so that we could take it and let it penetrate in our heart and regulate our mind, dear God, that we will not sin against you. Heavenly Father, we've got to be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory because you're worthy. We realize, dear God, we were created to give you glory, to give you honor, and to praise your holy name. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others we ask in your darling Son Jesus' name for all of our sakes. Thank you, dear God. Thank you for everything you do for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So as I said earlier, our lesson is coming from the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, 11th verse through the 20th. And for those who know anything about Luke, many believe that Luke was a disciple, but Luke was not one of the disciples. Luke was a physician. Matter of fact, he was Paul's physician. And by going around with Paul, he had knowledge by being a physician, number one, and God used him to write one of the Gospels, the Gospel according to Luke. And when we think about it, Luke, being a physician, was able to describe Jesus. If you really look in his writing, and you can see he was trying to describe and let you know that that Jesus was fully man and yet fully God. So it's coming from the book of Luke, and the title of the lesson is Don't Let the Green Grass Fool You. You know, that was a song written a long time ago. I think the man's name was Wilson Pickett, if that wasn't his name, and somebody know, you could call in, you know, before we get off the air. But it was, don't let the green grass fool you. You see, tonight's lesson is a parable, and a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. You see, God uses earthly things because you are familiar with them. You know their meaning and what they are used for. And you also know what they can do. You see, a parable places things besides one another, making comparisons so that there are similarities could be noticed. You see, a parable is a simple story illustrating a moral or religious lesson. Jesus taught many times in the gospel using parables. Jesus was asked by his disciples one day, why did he speak in parables? And Jesus answered and said, it is given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not. He was talking about those who don't believe. He was talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the Republicans who thought they knew it all. They thought they knew too much to understand. So Jesus said, I'm going to break it down to its simplest terms. I'm going to use things you're familiar with because I want you to get what I'm saying. Lord Almighty God, we serve. You see, he said, you must be initiated in order to understand it. Thank God for letting me be in. When we look at parables, we must make a comparison between the earthly and the heavenly and then understand the message Jesus is teaching. You see, in this parable of the prodigal son, the word prodigal means spending money or resources freely and recklessly, wasteful, and being very extravagant. That's the definition of prodigal. That's why the boy was called a prodigal son, because that's what he did. And anybody you may know who does these type of things, and like the movie stars and all these people who just ridiculously spend money and, you know, and things like that. And I'm not saying if you got the money, you could buy it. But, you know, you just God never appreciate wastefulness. You see, a son, this story talks about the one, the prodigal son. He wanted his share of what his father had earned, but he wanted it now. Not after his father's death, but he wanted it now. You know how we have stuff that we have, and we have an inheritance for our children, but you know, a will is not open and distributed until the person who wrote the will is deceased. But this son father was living, and he wanted his now. So what happened? He got it, he wasted it, and he wound up having to go back to his father. Do you know any people like that? So when we look at this, and if you read the chapter, you saw that a lot, several other parables was in it. But the main character in this parable is the forgiven father. This is comparison to God, who is always forgiven, always constant, and cannot change. In telling the story, Jesus identified himself with God in his loving attitude towards the lost. You see, the young son in this parable symbolized the loss. And if you looked at when the 15th chapter opened, Jesus was using and saying the loss as the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they knew the law, but they didn't know how to love. So Jesus was comparing them to tax collectors. He was comparing this boys to tax collectors and sinners of that day. You know, tax collectors was despised because of their unfair dealings, you see. But the elder son represented the self-righteous and is compared to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law of that day. See, the Pharisees and the Sadducees was so puffed up and so full of pride, you know, that they was just outright selfish. They figured they had cornered the market on knowledge about the law, and everybody and everything was beneath them. But as I said earlier, they knew the law, but they didn't know how to love. So if we go into our scriptures, Luke, for those who have your Bible, please turn to Luke, the 15th chapter. We're going to start at the 11th verse. I want you to know that this particular part in the Bible, if you read around these different chapters, Jesus began at a certain time teaching in parables. And the 15 chapters have several other parables listed in that. See, Jesus knew his time was going to be short, so he was doing whatever he could to try to get out his message, and that people could comprehend it, and that they could begin to understand the fullness of God's master plan for man. You see, in the 15th chapter, the 11th verse through the 13th verse, the scripture reads, "And he said, a certain man had two sons." And that, if you have a Bible where the writing is in red, they say "he said," talking about Jesus, because this parable is in red writing. "And he said, a certain man had two sons." That was 11, 12. "And the youngest of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.'" And he said, "that falleth to me," but, you know, really they wasn't ready to fall because the dad wasn't dead. So he was implying, whatever I'll get when you die, you know, give it to me now. And then, and the scripture goes on to say, "and divided unto them his living." So what they say, the dad divided, and a lot of people miss this. They say, "and divided unto them." That means since the father was going to give the youngest son his part, he went on and gave the oldest son his part. Now, that's pretty fair. And because it say, "and it divided unto them his living." 13 said, "and not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a false country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. If we look at that for a while, we see the youngest son asked the father for the share of his estate, which could have been half of what the older brother would have received, which was the law in those days. In other words, one-third for the younger and two-thirds for the elder. When we are impatient, we want all that we think we deserve now. Though it was within his right to ask, but it was not a loving thing to do, as it applied that he wished that his father wasn't still living and would have died sooner, and then the will would have been open. But he was impatient. He couldn't wait, and he asked for it now. Instead of rebuking his son, the father patiently granted him his request. This is a picture of God letting a sinner go his own way. You see, that boy took his inheritance and went to a far country. You know, when you look at this, it is evidence from his previous actions that he had already made that journey in his heart. And the departure was a display of his ungratefulness to all the goodness his father had offered. Y'all know any children like that? You know, no matter where I go, there's always people talking about their children and the attitude they have and the spirit of ungratefulness and the spirit of selfishness. You know, we live in a selfish society. Everybody do what they think is right in their own eyes. And everybody's just concerned about me, myself, and I. So as a man thinketh, so is he. This is compared to how we take God's goodness, his grace, and his loving kindness for granted all the time. All that God has done, is doing, and promised to do for you, what have we done for him lately? We all know some things that God has asked us to do, and yet we don't do them. That's a sign of ungratefulness. You see, before long, all this boy had was gone, and he hit rock bottom. The grass looked greener to him on the other side. You know, and the grass may look greener on the other side, but don't let what might seem greener to fool you. How many times we've stepped into things thinking it's going to be better than what we're stepping out of, only to find out it was no better or even worse. I don't know about you guys, but I'm talking about me. You see, sometimes we can see the good in our own, sometimes we can't see the good in our own situation and end up changing something, only to find ourselves even more discontented than we were, what we changed to causes more problem for ourselves. Because you see, when you turn away from God, I want you to let you know that sin always promises more than it can give. It makes all these big promises to you. But it always promised more than it can give. If we look at the 14th verse, the 15th, and the 16th verse, and it reads as follows. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. Now, I'm talking about a Jew boy now, y'all. No, they don't fool with pigs. And 16 said, And he was fain, which means gladly. What it's saying, he would gladly have his belly filled with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You know, here we see that sin, as I was talking about, promises freedom. But if you be in it long enough, it brings slavery. You see, the world loves to suck you in, make everything look good. But the world, what it does, it uses you up and then spit you out. You see, as long as Satan is having his way with you, he's all right. But watching the lives of people that you may know, once they hit rock bottom, he walk away, go try to find the next person, and leave that person alone to face the music. Y'all know what they be saying with the drug rehabs and the this and the alcoholism and the sex addictions. When you hit rock bottom, you know, sometimes they say you got to go all the way down to be able to come up. You see, what this boy did, he squandered all his father had worked so hard for on selfish, shallow fulfillments and losing everything. How many times somebody worked hard in their life and had children and they left a will and the children got what the person had worked so hard for and they start tricking it off. And before long, they have nothing. They didn't. That's people who don't even respect the person that gave to them in their will. They don't even respect the hard work that was put in it, the many challenges and the obstacle that person had to do. And don't forget the sacrifices. Because just like he could swindle it, his daddy could have swindled it. But, you know, the Bible say, you know, someone who leave an inheritance to his children is a good thing. You see, his financial disaster is followed by a natural disaster in the form of a famine, which he failed to plan for. That's what's happening with so many people. Failing to plan, because if you fail a plan, wherever you wind up, it don't matter because you had nowhere else to go. You didn't plan to be somewhere else. So on a regular basis, you're not planning, you're not, you know, you're not taking care of, you're not, you know, doing whatever you need to do. If you're not planning, wherever you wind up is just where you at. So what the boy do? He sell himself into physical slavery. And guess what? He sold himself to a Gentile. That's why they call it a false country. And Gentiles and Jews didn't mix. And really at this time, the door wasn't even open for the Gentiles. And the Gentile had pigs. Now when that boy was on his daddy's place and he used to work, his daddy wouldn't have probably asked him to work with no pigs for number one. And he would refuse to do it because of the law. But here we see he sell himself into slavery to a Gentile who they thought was below them. And he find himself feeding pigs, a detestable job for a Jewish person. Look what sin is doing him. Look how far it's, you know, anytime you waddle in sin, it usually make you think, do things that you don't normally do. It make you go to places you wouldn't go to. It take you out of your character. You see, the irony is that his choice led him to a position that he had no choice but to work. for a stranger at that, doing the very thing he refused to do for his father. On top of it, he apparently was paid so little that he began to eat the pig's food. Just when he must have thought life could get no worse, he couldn't find mercy among the people. And I'm sure plenty of them help him spend his money. But you know, when all the money is funny, all the people is gone. Apparently, once everything was gone, so was his so-called friends. You know, if you look at the world, movie stars and anybody else who they, you know, people idolize and all of this, the world only loves you when you're a winner. When you have nothing, it's hard to get something. This is a picture of the state of a lost sinner who rebels, or a rebellious Christian who has returned to a life of slavery to sin. God has given us freedom, and yet every time we decide to dibble and dab into sin, we putting ourselves back in bondage. Hallelujah. This is a picture what sin really does in a person's life when he rejects the Father will. And I want you to keep in mind, sin always promises more than it can give. Take this drink. Take this hit. You know, this one's going to be better than the first one. You know, and this one's going to be better than the next one. Sin always promises more than it can give. And then it takes you farther than you want to go. And it leaves you worse off than you were before. And that's a fact. And if we look at 17, 18, 19, and 20, they say, and when he had came to himself, he said, how many hired servants my father have bread enough? How many of my dad's servants have enough food? They have so much food that they even have some to spare. And I perish with hunger. 18, I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That's humble, huh? That's repentance. That's what you call repentance. And then 19, he said, and I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And 20, and he rose and came to his father's house. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. The father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Here we see how repentance restores hope. You see, the son began to reflect on his condition and realized that even his father's servant had better than him. His painful circumstances help him to see his father in a new light and bring him hope. You see, sometimes God has to let you have these painful situations and these ridiculous circumstances for you to just try to be more committed and understand the real deal. You see, Romans 8, 24 and 25 says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why do he yet hope for it? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Are you willing to wait on God? Do you really believe God? Do you trust God? You see, all of this is reflective of a sinner when he or she discovers the destitute condition of their lives because of sin. It is a realization that apart from God, there is no hope. Solomon in the Bible talked about life in the form of vanity. He said it don't matter how much you get. Solomon was the richest man I ever lived. He had more than anybody. They say to be, you know, something you had to have, you know, workers. He had more workers than anybody ever had. You got to have jewelry. He had more jewelry. You got to have this. You got to have this. Everything they said that you need to have to be something, Solomon had it all. And yet, in the end of his teaching and in his writing, he said all of it was vanity. He said, trust God. Trust God, because everything else is vanity. You see, this is when a repentant sinner comes to his sense and longs to return to the state of fellowship with God, which was lost when Adam sinned. You see, this boy was willing to give up his rights as a father's son and take on a position of a servant. He wasn't boastful and prideful. He came to his daddy humble, with a humble heart. You know, some people want you to forgive them, and some people want you to not worry about what they did you or nothing like that. And some people may even apologize, but there's a right way to do it. You see, you got to humbly come. You can't come all boastful and prideful and want something. And that's the way the boy came to his son. You see, he now humbled himself and no longer has puffed up pride. This is exactly what conversion is all about. In an ending a life of slavery to sin through confessing to the Father, faith in Jesus Christ, and becoming a slave to righteousness. Now, when I say right here a slave, I don't mean like someone owning a slave. I'm talking about a slave mentality to obey his master's will. God is our master. And this is saying to become a slave to righteousness, to obey the rules of righteousness, to want to please your master through righteousness. That's like offering one body as a living sacrifice. Because, you know, we might not want to say a slave to righteousness, but when you're in sin, you're a slave to sin. Because you're waiting for the next time. You concentrate on the next time. You know, you could become a slave, like habits we have in our life. Y'all might not have none. But when we have a habit in our life, we are slave to the habit. And I want you to know, when a Christian knows better, or something better to do and don't do it, is a sin. So it's not, you know, you're always thinking about sins one way. But if you know something to do that you can do or should do and don't do it, it's a sin. You see, the prodigal son was satisfied to return home as a slave, but his father restored him back into full privileges. That's what God does. God don't take tally, oh, for 9 months you was in the street. But you come back right. That's repentance. And God accept you like that, but the world and people in the world and even your Christians, brothers and sisters, want to hold you back to your past. But God restores us to our full privileges. This is what God does for a repentant sinner. Not only are we forgiven, but we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You see, the Father ordered the best robe for his son, which is a sign of honor. He took a ring and he put it on his son's finger, which is a sign of authority and sonship. And he had him bring a pair of sandals and put him on his feet. And that was a sign of not being a servant. If you read the rest of the chapter that you was asked to read. You see, when we receive Christ upon salvation, you see, you know, when Jesus come to get us in the day of the rapture, they said we're going to put on a white robe. It's going to be a robe of redemption, a redeemer of righteousness. And you see, God is going to, he has placed the sandals on our feet, because if you look at the whole armor of God, the sandals represent readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, that you're going to be able to share the word of God. You see, and then he had a fatty calf was killed, and it was prepared for the son. So you might say, well, they had to eat, but why he did this? See, you got to look at the word of God, and when certain things, and in a parable, he took a calf and he killed it. You know there's no remission of sins, and there's no forgiveness and atonement without the shedding of blood. Notice the blood was shed of the calf that he killed for the atonement for the sin for the boy. You see, this represents how Jesus shed his blood for the atonement of our sins. You see, and then a calf was usually killed when there were special guests. This is how, you know, in the 23rd Psalm, they say, the Lord prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And yes, the older boy was still there with the father, and the younger boy had left. But there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about the last can be first, and the first could be last. Look at the man on the cross with Jesus, the two thieves, and one of them told Jesus, when you enter your kingdom, remember me. Jesus told him, today you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't say, oh, you didn't work for me so many years. He didn't say, oh, you never gave tithes and you didn't give no money to the church. He didn't say, you know, you didn't ask for all the repentance, for all the sins. Because you remember, he was a criminal. So he was a bad boy. Jesus told him, the man repented. He humbled himself to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you how to repent today, y'all. He humbled himself to Jesus Christ. And Jesus told him, today you're going to be with me in paradise. And when he told him that, that man on the cross, now I don't know what time it was, so let's say he asked Jesus 2 hours before, he asked Jesus two hours before he died. He and Jesus granted him salvation. He received all of the privileges that you have, that I have. The last could be first, and the first could be last. The first could be last, and the last can be first. Come on, y'all. And if you read further, you will see that everyone is not happy when you find your way. You know, when you begin to talk the Jesus talk, they say you got too holy. Or they say, you know, you ain't so right yourself. Always finding fault in you. When someone receives something, anything, we have to learn to rejoice with them. Don't be a play hater. Don't hate, congratulate. Because everything they got, just like everything you got, came from the same God. And it had to be in his plan for him to give it to him. So rejoice. You see what happened, though, the elder son became angry and disappointed about the way in which his father received the lost boy. You know, the older son said, I've been with you here all this time. I never left you. And now he going to come back, and this is how you going to treat him. You see, he was only focused on himself. He began to deal with issues of injustice. This just not fair. And this is not equal. I've been here working all this time, and you've been gone. You see, but what it was, he failed to see the value of his brother's repentance and return. How many times people repent and you don't, and others don't want to believe them? You know, they had some people who became maybe a minister, and a man was an alcoholic, and he, you know, cleaned himself up, and God called him into the ministry. And he could be them been preaching for 50 years, and somebody going to look at him and say, oh, yeah, you know, that's the man used to be on the corner, the drunk. That's what the world does. God doesn't look at us like that, because once we accept his son as our Savior, when God looks at us, he don't see our sin. He only see his son. And God never allow our past to dictate our future. You see, he prefers to nurture his anger rather than enjoy fellowship with his father and his brother. Look how he losing out. And that's what happened to us sometimes. We so mad. We so unforgiving. We so right. We so this and we so that till we miss something that God had for us. You see, he chose suffering and isolation over restoration and reconciliation. He sees his brother return as a threat to his own inheritance. That's why you always have to remember what God has for you is for you, and no one can steal it or take it away. God has enough to give everybody what he want to give them. And you got to remember, everything ain't for everybody. I might have not never get the same amount you got. You know, I don't know how to sing, and I don't think I'm going to be getting a singing voice anytime soon. But because you sing really well, you know, I got to praise what God has given you. Because when you sing, I can listen. Everything ain't for everybody. You see, the Lord does not treat us as our sin deserves, which is mercy, or repay us according to our iniquities, which is grace. Instead of condemnation, there is rejoicing for the son or daughter who has been dead, but now is alive, who once was lost, but now is found. This is a picture of what occurs in heaven over one repentant sinner. That's why the Bible says, Jesus said, if a man had 100 sheep and one go astray, the man would leave the 99 and go back and get the one. Hallelujah. And as we close tonight, you see, this is a picture of a son, a father receiving a son back into a relationship. And it's a picture of how we should respond to a repentant sinner as well. I'm often asked, you know, this person is doing bad and I keep praying for them. How long I have to keep praying for them? How many more times? First of all, you're saying a prayer, you shed a word, and you keep it moving. That's not taking nothing off of you. That's not weighing you down so bad. You, when you give them the word and you pray for them, you cannot guarantee the outcome. The outcome don't depend on you and what you did. The outcome depends on God and what, when, and how he want to do it. You stand in line and do what God told you to do, because you see, when you keep praying for him and keep hoping for him and keep sharing, that's going to be, that reward is going to be accredited to your account, not them who don't receive it. And you don't get to make the timetable. Remember, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all of our righteous acts, the Bible say, are like filthy rags apart from Christ. You don't get to determine how fast someone else get it. You got it when you got it, not a minute sooner. Somebody was talking to you before you got it. And after you got it, you wasn't as strong as you are now with it. That's why Peter said, grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what you have to do is keep praying for others. Keep sharing the good news to them. Keep encouraging them. And then be patient with them. And then you keep it moving. It is only by God's grace that we are saved, not by works that we could boast. And no matter what state you are in, God is always waiting for you with open arms to welcome you home. So tonight I say, be careful of the grass that look greener on the other side. Because sin always promises more than it can give. And if you want to reflect, that's the end of the lesson, but I'm just saying this now. If you want to reflect on this lesson, you could think about something in your life where you dibbled off into something that just wasn't about you. And see what happens when you got there and what it did to you. That's why it's such a blessing, because we could say the things we used to do, we don't do anymore. But we all fell short. And quiet as it's kept, we falling short every day. You didn't get saved and get perfect. So we pressing daily for the mark of the high prize. High cause, which is in Christ Jesus. That's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to add anything to it, anyone would like to ask for prayer, give words of encouragement. One of the ladies that listened to the Bible study with us on Wednesday night, she texted me and asked me to ask you guys to pray for her husband. His name is Vince Bartholomew. She said she was on the way to the emergency room at the hospital. So if anybody needs someone else that they know need prayer, or if anybody know they have a name on the prayer list, and the person has recovered or doing well, and their name could come off the list, you could press the one button and we'll remove the names, because I see Miss Sister Pam is on the line, and next Wednesday is the first Wednesday in the month. It's amazing how fast time is going. Next Wednesday is going to be August the 4th, I think. This year is just going out. So anybody need prayer, know anybody name on the prayer list that we might can remove, You could press the one button and give us the name, and we'll remove it from the list. Which everybody always need prayer, but we ask that you keep the people in mind and remember the name, so, you know, if the list is so long. So if there's nothing else for tonight, I pray that the lesson that went forward is something that you could use and hold on to. I pray that if there's anyone that's listening to the program who don't know Jesus and a pardon of their sins and want to know what must I do to be saved, you can press the one button really at this time. And if you want to, you could call a prayer line and we could pray the repentance prayer. And, you know, you could be asked a few questions and we could do it that way. But God is sending out the invitation. Because it is God's desire that all men be saved. And not just all men, but all sorts of men. He's talking about the ones that's on the street, the ones that's committing adultery, the ones that's stealing, the ones that's just lying, the ones that is disrespectful, just the combination of all things. Because sin is anything that exalts itself against the word of God. God is waiting for you. Just like the prodigal, the father was waiting for his son, the prodigal son, and how he received him. That's the way that God wants to receive the sinner. And if you did some things and realized that it wasn't right, do like the prodigal son. Be humble in your repentance to God. Caller, your number is 504-430. Your mic is open.
Good evening, Minister Diane. Again, thank you for an enlightening lesson. We really needed that, and it blessed my heart tonight. But I'd like to add my daughter's name to the prayer list. Her name is Sharon, and I'm asking that you add her name in prayer tonight.
Okay, I'm sure Sister Pam going to have it because the list is going to be called. You know, we call the names every Monday. I mean, the first Wednesday of every month. And I just want to make a suggestion to you guys who's really praying for the people on the prayer list. When the list is being called, get you a piece of paper and write some of the names down. And when you go to God, you could call that person's name unto God. And that'd be a good thing. But I thank you, Sister Joyce. Thank you so much. And thank you for the encouragement. And we're going to have Sister Sharon added to our list.
Thank you so much.
Anybody else would like to say anything? Or would someone want to lead us out in prayer on tonight? Caller, your number is 504-515. Your mic is open.
715. Good evening.
71546.
Yes, ma'am.
You have the mic. You can come to us any way you want.
I thank God for being able to get on this afternoon. And I thought about a song, God Knows All About Us. He knows the good and the bad things we've done. And he knows when we get tempted. He'll lead us through that temptation because the Bible said there's no temptation that's known unto man where God won't give us a way to escape out that temptation. But he lets us know when we do error off, we can always repent and come back. So I just thank God for this afternoon. I thank God for the word. I lift up Sister Sharon, oh God. I lift up Minister Deborah to you, Lord God. I lift up the Mahoney family, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I thank you for what you have done in time past. I thank you for what you're doing right now, Lord God. I'm thanking you in advance for what you will do. God, I lift up the young children that will be going back to school, Lord God. I ask that you would put a hedge of protection around them and shield them. Oh, God, I lift up those that are addicted by drug, oh God, and alcohol, oh God, oppression and depression, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. You said in your word that the thief come but to rob, steal, kill, and to destroy, but you came that we may have life and life more abundantly. Your word declares that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that you have prepared for those that love you, Lord God. God, and we thank you that we all are called according to your purpose, that we are your purpose possession, oh God. We thank you that you say that we are of a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are peculiar people. We are chosen generation, oh God. And you say that we should show forth the praises of you who has called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. So we thank you for another Wednesday night, God, that we came together, Lord, and was able to break bread. God, that we can grow in wisdom, oh God, and those that need their understanding, open, oh God. I ask that you would open up the eyes of their understanding in the name of Jesus, because you say with all thy getting, get understanding. God, and I ask that you would crown our head with wisdom and knowledge, oh God, and most of all, the understanding, that your word stays and speak over our lives. Because you said if we delight ourselves in you, you will give us the desires of your heart, of our hearts, oh God. And your heart desire is the will. Your word is the will for our lives. And for that, we are grateful. We thank you, Lord, for keeping Minister Diane right now in the mighty name of Jesus, that you continue to encourage her heart, Lord God, and strengthen her in the name of Jesus. And I lift up everyone that's on the prayer list tonight, oh God, and every prayer list that I'm involved with, Lord. I lift up the believers, Lord. I pray for the whole household of faith in Jesus' name. Amen, and I call it all done. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
You want to give us a few of the lines of the song that was laid on your heart?
God knows all about me. He knows the good and the bad things I've done. He knows when I am tempted, and he knows just what to do. And in his own mysterious way, he leads me safely through.
Thank you so much, Minister Elyria Mackey. I have so many accolades that people say they love the way you pray and they love your voice. So I'll just say thank you for allowing God to use you. And, you know, whenever the invitation is offered for someone to pray, that you do press the button. Because I may say, do you want to pray? But I realize that the invitation and the offer is from God. God always gives his people a platform to perform the work that he's putting in them. So with that, I say thank you, and I pray that you be blessed, and everybody on the program, and thank you guys for calling in every Wednesday night. I don't take it lightly, and I appreciate each and every one of you. And I'm going to just say this benediction, and we're going to go out, because this is really my prayer, that each and every one of us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because that's where our strength is. That's where our joy is seated. That's where our help come from. Amen, and thank God. That's our program for tonight. if it's the Lord's will. I'll see you all next week. Same time, same station. Be blessed. Do good. Shed a word. Amen. And good night.